This episode is brought to you by FX's The Veil, starring Elizabeth Moss. FX's The Veil is an international spy thriller that follows two women as they play a deadly game of truth and lies on the road from Istanbul to Paris and London. One woman has a secret, and the other has a mission to reveal it before thousands of lives are lost. FX's The Veil premieres April 30th, only on Hulu.
You're listening to the Brenton Not On Tour Quarantine Cast. So far, he's taught you about good coffee.
Damn, Jimmy, this is some serious gourmet shit.
Good music.
I'm like this, you know, and then that becomes your thing. Music just does that.
And the secrets to good travel.
Exits. Okay, there's one back here. And there's probably one over by the wing somewhere.
Now, thanks to COVID-19, he's here to make sure that you're all good during this time of social distancing and self-isolation. So sit back and enjoy as he broadcasts from any number of exotic locations like Costa del Balconia, La Isla del Garage, Playa del Living Room, and the always magical Puerta Backyarda. And don't worry, he's already had the coronavirus and beat it. Still, maybe keep a mask handy. Here's BD.
Hey friends, welcome to a very awesome, cool edition of the Brenton Not On Tour Quarantine Cast. I'm kind of hanging out with my good friend, one of my best friends in the whole world, the staple in my life, basically responsible for all this great stuff that's happening in my world as far as music and all the rest of it. The very excellent Chris Machete. How you doing, sir?
Hi, I'm doing good.
Hey man, we're just hanging out. It's very good. We are in your bat cave. What are you calling this?
It's my office. It's the office.
You don't have a nickname?
Not yet. It's pretty new. Well, it's Machete Comics. I just got to get where those pictures are that I've done. I got to get a big sign there that says Machete Comics. There's where we color. There's where I draw and come up with stuff. And of course, I have two other artists that are doing gigs for me. One's in Oshawa and one's in Nova Scotia, Lonnie. Where's the New Brunswick? So I have a writer in New Brunswick, and I have an artist writer in Oshawa. And the head office is here in Kingston.
This is new. So adding on to like the thousand things that you're already doing with teaching.
Yeah, but kiddos, I'm slowing that down. I'm slowing that down.
Slowing down the teaching the teaching.
Oh yeah. I'm just down. I'm keeping 20 students and that's it. And just serious students. And then, and I'm focusing 100% now on my comic book company, Machete Comics, my wife and I, and it seems like the time to do it. I started out with the band thing that I thought was going to be my legacy to leave everything. And then it turns out to be a starting point to my school that I thought was going to be my legacy. And then it turns out that that's, you know, the school's cool, but I love teaching kids, but I've just lost my passion to make it grow any bigger than it is. So
do you find that it's like, you lost the passion because you've regained this other passion?
No.
So for a long time, you weren't drawing. For a long time, you were just teaching.
Yeah.
And now drawing's back and you're killing it. And all the shit you're doing is awesome, is rad.
Oh, thank you.
But I'm just wondering if it's like, back.
Yeah, no, I know exactly what you're saying. That's a really good question. No, the answer is because when you saw it, I had a big ass school. Like I was making a lot of money. Mind you, the place I was staying at, my house that I own, but the area my hydro bill was over $300 a month. Where I'm living now, it's $70. Over $300 a month for a hydro bill, man, that's nuts. But I was doing really well, but I was doing concerts with, you were getting me guys from groups like Headley, from Slash's band, and I was doing these great big concerts. I had, I myself was teaching 15 to 20 kids a day. I had over 150 students a week coming in and out of my school. Half of my house was a school. So I had it to the point where I could have made that a really, really huge thing. So the reason that I don't want to do that anymore is because I was kind of on the cusp of that. And that's not where I want to be. That was nuts, man. I was so busy and dealing with so many different personalities and situations where you see kids, man, and you would kind of want to step in and help out situations. But that's not your role, man. Your role is a half hour to teach, right? So you get to that point. And I was actually working from Monday to Friday teaching music and then tearing everything down and doing a comic book school on Saturday and Sunday in the jam space area. So I tear all the amps down and bring out drawing tables. And it got to the point that my timing with things, right? So I'd start teaching around 11 with parents or with adults. And then I'd end around like 10 o'clock, right? So, you know, excuse me, your dinner time and everything shifted up. And I like to drink a bit too. So you end up doing a bottle of wine on an empty stomach while you're stressed out before you eat. And then you eat at like 12 at night and you go to bed. Oh my gosh, right? So I don't remember. I was in the hospital for about a week with pancreatitis because just my stomach was so messed up and I wasn't eating. And yeah, I was like thin as a rail. It was really bad. So to answer your question is I was almost there. I experienced it and it put me in the hospital, man. So I had, there's no way I was going to do that again. And when I did let things get out of my control and I wasn't like, you know, oh, I'll just let them, I'll hire all these kids and I'll hire an adult to work here. Nah, it wasn't. Then I had people complaining, saying, you know, wow, this is great, but you know, that you're giving
thinning the herd out.
Well, yeah. The parents would come to me and say, this is great that you're giving me a time at your school, but you're not teaching me and this guy sucks. Or, you know, he's not really working as hard as I see you working. So I want you to teach my kid. So when you own something like that with so many different people and you're dealing with kids, it all comes back on you. And man, I was always thinking of my school. I was always thinking of the kids, the parents. You know, there's times where people hadn't paid me for like 3-4 months, right? And the kids are still being dropped off for lessons. So it got to the point.
In that town too, we were in Port Perry, which is, you know, loaded with money. Anyone that's listening around, Port Perry is like a suburb of Toronto, which in essence was a suburb of Oshawa, but it's a beautiful little town. It's really cool. It's on a lake. It's great, but there's money there. And there's also not money there.
No, true. So There's two different spectrums. There's the people that have grown up there and are just afraid to leave.
Yeah.
So they stay there, whether they can afford it or not. It's like, oh, I can't leave Port Perry. If I go to Oshawa, I'm going to get shot. You know, I had people, clients and people that I knew there that were amazed that I would go to Toronto. Holy crap, you go to Toronto? You know, I remember talking to kids in Blackstock that were amazed that I would go, that I lived in Port Perry. It's like, are you serious? I feel so bad for you. So yeah, not teaching at a huge school is really enjoyable. Plus my personality, you know, I get too, you care about them too much, right? You get to care about them too much. And then money slips and you're letting them go.
To your point, and it's to the point that you've always been a caring dude from the standpoint of like, you know, you're always on the lookout as to what's going on with people. And, and I would imagine that in that particular, you know, scenario, you've got a kid that doesn't even want to play guitar that day. He just wants to talk to you or something. Then all of a sudden it's a couch. So,
well, all of a sudden it's a conversation about something where you're worried about the kid. You know what I mean? Like that happens a lot. Or it's
funny. And I don't know if people realize that. And I'm sure it's not just your school that this has happened to, but a lot of these a lot of these kids are going to go through this, Chris can make himself any age he needs to make himself. So
no, it's harder to make myself an adult. I'm always,
that's right.
It's I'm always a that kid. Way. It's harder to sit at the adult table and talk, like current events and stuff than it is.
Yeah. If you've got a kid, if you've got like, you know, an 8-year-old, with anxiety or something in it, but art lets them release that and they come in, or music lets them release that and they come in and next thing you know, they're just going to want to hang out with Chris. And that becomes a funny kind of dynamic because now the kid is allowed to be 8 with you instead of like being 8 with an adult. He's allowed to be 8 with another 8-year-old because you can dive into that because of your comics and all the stuff that you can offer, which is really, really cool. But I would imagine it's nerve wracking when it gets stressful. And so then you move to that. So then you guys move to a new town.
So yeah, we came to Kingston.
Start it again.
Well, my wife got sick when we first moved here. We sold the house. We basically folded up the business that was, you know, doing really, really well. I don't want to throw numbers around because that's just rude, but we were doing really well, man. Like, you know, it was as I mentioned, if you can tell by how much I was working and that I put myself in the hospital, I was doing okay. You know what I mean? But where we were living, we weren't. And plus I did the Kevin Smith method of starting a business where you just max your credit cards out, right? To get what you want. And that's what we did to fix up and build the school. It's just maxed out a bunch of credit cards and it worked. Yeah. It did work. And then we sold the house. We paid off the credit cards. And I'm here in Kingston now. And the sad thing was that basically when we sold the house, we found out that my wife had cancer. So not only were we folding a business I worked a decade for, you know, leaving a town and a house that we lived in for over a decade, you know, starting a new place, and my wife has cancer, so we got to go to a new hospital. And you're meeting people for the first time, and you're all bummed out, and you feel weird. Yeah. I felt so mentally effed up for the whole thing, just like talking to new people. You just, the first thing you want to say is, "Hey, my name's Chris. My name's Chris, and my wife has cancer. So if I act a little stupid, man, it's not you, it's me." You know what I mean? You feel like you want to explain that, yeah. But if you do explain that, then people look at you like, "Whoa, I just met you. Why are you telling me that?" So there's that whole thing. So trying to start a new business and trying to just be a normal mental state was really nuts. But the people around here really took me in well. And then once I got my mental state together and my wife got a little better, thank the doctors. The doctors are amazing. So if you're going out in public and a doctor's telling you not to go out in public right now with everything, you're an asshole. You want to tell me any of these politicians are wrong? That's fine. You want to tell me a doctor is wrong? Who's working 24? Wow. Shut up. Go home. You're an asshole. Like, I have no other word for that, especially going through, like going to these things with my wife when she had cancer and seeing people come in and going, "Oh, like, yeah, this was a 2-year process, man. This wasn't like going in for a couple of days at the doctor. You're in there. You see people, the same people all the time. I saw people going in there that were white, no hair, skinny. And I'm thinking, you're going to die. Oh my God. Like, I'm sorry. My thoughts are like that. You know what I mean? Like, I'm a comic book artist. I'm a musician. I don't, it's not like, "Hey, well, everything's going to be okay." It's like, "Wow, that person's going to fucking die. This has got to suck." And you see them gradually get better. And you're like, and you want to hug them. Right. And the doctors, the nurses come out, and I'm not the sick one. My wife is, but the doctors and nurses, "Chris, how are you doing? You know, how's the lessons going?" It's like, "Holy shit. Hey, good." And you feel like you're being addressed by a celebrity, right? Because this person is saving your wife's life.
Yeah,
which is
nuts. You're all connected. You're all on a mission.
But at the same time, like, I'm used to having things in my control.
Yeah,
you know, my business was in my control. All of a sudden, it wasn't. All of a sudden, I got rid of it, and I'm starting a new one. Now, my wife is deathly ill, and I have no control over that either. You know what I mean? Like that. You know me, personality wise, having like maybe a touch of ADD. You know, being a little hyper, not having things in my control sets it off even more than it turns into anxiety. So trying to start a new business and having my wife sick, that was just, wow, it was a big test. And I thought, because, you know, I thought I might get a huge school out here. You know what I mean?
Well, like, you're on pace, but now you're just reeling it in a bit.
Yeah, right. Well, I thought, I almost killed myself in Port Perry doing it. I'm going to try. Yeah. I have to do something in Port Perry. This is what I'm going to do. And the more I started doing it, the more I was just like, you know, wow, life is short. It really is.
I mean, it is.
So you reach.
You've never been one to waste time, though.
Well, no. And it seems like this is the time to do it, right? Like, the world is shutting down. We're hitting the reset button. I've got like a deal with my mortgage. I forget where they just kind of pin it up and put it back onto your overall mortgage. You know what
I mean? I think they're deferring most people.
Deferring, that's what it's called. So I've got day. Like.
Ring the bell. Ding, ding, ding.
Ding, ding. Yeah. We have a word that's large and knows stuff. So deferring.
Yeah.
So and I'm fine with that. You know what I mean? Because you've seen my backyard. I can show you again sometime, everybody. I'm sitting here drawing, looking out over a forest. We now have deer. It's so quiet now. We've got ducks. I got a wild turkey named Jeff. We got a rabbit that lives under the deck. And now we have two deer that have showed up. It's beautiful. I'm not going anywhere. Take 6 months of my mortgage, defer it, pile it on there. I'll pay it later when I sell my first 1,000,000 comic books. Right, dude? You know what I mean? So I'm doing.
And that's where you've always gone for that, and that's the, you know, as long as I've known you, I think we met in I think 94, right? 94 was when we got it going, and that was like, that was something, because that, you know, I was thinking about it the other day. My kids were actually asking, "How long have you known Uncle Chris?" And I'm like, "Well, geez,
2 days."
Yeah, we just met a couple of days ago.
What time?
94 was when we got the band going, and you would come. You were coming in hot off of the Jersey thing and all the rest of it, and it was a whole different world. But even then, we did this. You were drawing all the time and did all the artwork for the band, and musically, we just couldn't keep up from the standpoint of, like, it was every time we go to a band practice, new songs, new this,
a lot
new
of
that.
Creativity, right?
It was always go. It was always like we were always going for it. It was never a chill time from the standpoint of, like, it was like band practice was like 3 hours and then we would, you know, just hang out and party and whatever. And then it was like, I'd come over 2 days later for the next band practice and you'd already been up for 3 hours drawing something that you were just drawing kind of for yourself. which always thought was like the amazing thing, because Chris has got stuff. You've got loads and loads of stuff. What did I find? Hold on 1 second. I found something really cool.
Yeah. Yeah, my cats, Lonnie, you got to break the cats up there.
We're not in the what's in the box phase yet. I mean, Chris used to just do these random pictures.
Yeah,
you know, these random pictures. And for anyone, for the audio version of this podcast, is Chris had done portraits of the band members, which at that time consisted of three, and we basically, you know, just did these really cool portraits of stuff. And it just made, it just really connected all of us really well from the standpoint of like, we're a character, we're in this comic together, really. We got the name of the band. You pulled it from a Lobo comic. Mr. Machete was the name of the band. And then all of a sudden we were comic book characters. And I always felt like we were in this comic going, we were fighting the shitty bands that were treating us like shit. We were going after, you know, it was like
a life that we controlled. And we could make it look any way we wanted to. Now, and you're mentioning how much work we put into it. Well, the cool thing about it was, and this is what I like about the comic book company too, the thing about a band is, it's going to be as good as how much work you put into it. If you're going to go in once a week and jam for an hour, you're going to sound that good. If you're living it, if you're just like, we were just hanging out together. Sometimes you got to love, I always loved it when a band would jam so much that there's sometimes you'd go for a band practice, but you just end up having beer and shooting the shit. That's when you know you're jamming a lot, when sometimes it's like, yeah, we got that. And you just start talking and you forget. And next thing you know, it's 10 o'clock and it's like, oh, man, all right, well, nice jams. Cheers. Well,
one of the funny things that I discovered when I obviously, like when I'd moved on to tour managing and stuff and stopped playing. Mm-hmm. But one of the things that was interesting to me was at that point, all we knew was jamming. And when I moved on to Chuck Caliber, it was like, you guys jam, jam, jam. And with the new band, all the bands you've had since, you guys jam a lot, obviously not the 4 days a week that we were doing or whatever. But bands, the really interesting part for me was like bands would just rehearse, like the bands that I was tour managing would only rehearse together a week before they went on tour.
Yeah. And were they older?
Older yeah, people? Sure. Well, sure. I mean, sure. But it was just the way it was set up. It was like, you know, the day job guys and all the rest of it. It's like, well, plus, I can only jam this. I can only jam that. It was like,
we were always pushing new material though. Cause we didn't have that hit yet. We didn't have like Rocky Like a Hurricane yet. We were like, we still got to write that song. So if we weren't jamming for a show, we were still trying to write that hit. And I think that's the difference with a lot of bands. Like, well, they're not writing new stuff. I've been playing this song for, even if you've been playing it for 4 years, and you're not working on something new, I think you can pull that off. You know what I mean?
None of them want to, you know, and a lot of bands are put together. It's rare that you find a band that like, well, some bands are getting signed, but obviously it's at that point, it was like, you know, some people are being put together into a band and some people were doing this. And it was like, well, we're going to take this singer from that band and we're going to take this drummer from that band and we're just going to put him in and see if they mix. Well, okay. Well, here's the 14 songs that were written for the album. Just learn them. The drummer doesn't.
Like, I know what band you're thinking of.
Well, just all of them. I'm just saying any
band. But I know what band you're specifically thinking of.
So it's just one of those things where it's like, but then I see it moving on. And then now like the bigger bands now, for instance, that I'm out with, you know, so some of them are artists and then they have a band. Yeah. So the band has to go, like the great story about Guns N' Roses getting back together. Mm-hmm. So Axl had never rehearsed ever until he joined AC/DC. And Angus was like, hey, you're fucking coming to rehearsal.
Yeah. Well, he wouldn't dare. Hopefully he wouldn't dare, you know, insult.
No. And he did. Angus. And he's like, holy shit. I didn't like, you know, I read somewhere that he was like, I love this. And then Guns N' Roses gets back together and he's rehearsing with them. And I was like, so odd to me. And I'm sure they all in 87 when they were building towards that hit, as you're talking about with Appetite, I'm sure they were, well, like Motley Crue and all, they were jamming every minute of the day.
That's it. Yeah.
That's all they're
looking for, that hit, right? They still have to attain it.
Totally.
You get the hit and it's like, no, I'm not writing the hit yet. Now we don't need to write the hit yet. You know, we're doing shows. We're doing this. And if they need to write, and plus you get to the point where I don't think they can write a hit anymore, man.
Well, and that's the thing, because really there's just this level, and it's almost like every band that writes those first two records and you're connected to them. And then like bands are putting out records. Like I still buy new albums by bands
The New Testament's really good, man. Actually
love it.
Been in that
whole, love it. Love it. Love
track
it.
Is just like,
Love that record.
Scholnick's guitar playing is just like he was taught by Satriani, right?
I believe so. Yeah, I'd have to get our people on that. Do we have people? To get some people on it. But I
one sec. We got a cat issue here. My one cat's beating the other cat up, and it's
there. You go.
So you got to separate
cat fights. Cat fights.
There we go. We're done. No more. I'd stop it before it escalated.
I just find it funny. I just find it interesting because, and maybe it's just the time because we, you know, we were feeding each other and we were hanging out all the time and we were doing stuff. And there's just that visceralness to stuff. I'll read like Duff McKagan's book and he's like, I go and see Guns N' Roses now, like when he was going to see them when he wasn't back in the band. And he's like, there's just something missing. It's because they weren't in the same house together, doing the same thing. And it was interesting, just as like any band that you've played in will be like anything you play and eat moving forward is not going to be like, say, the band that almost made it or the band that you were, you know, we were together 5 days a week doing stuff. It's just, there's a weirdness there. It's
well, like when you're young, you're going to change the world with rock and roll too. Right. Like I was,
you know, totally.
One of the reasons I was drawing so much for myself is because I just came out of a situation where I was doing, you know, I came out of the Joe Kubert school and I was drawing like for homework. And I was also doing I was inking here and there to make a whole bunch of money. You know what I mean? So I was doing the same. I was working, but where I was living was so dangerous that it paid to stay inside. So when I came to Port Perry and started the band, that was the drawing thing was just like, oh, wow, this is great. I can draw whatever the hell I want. And then band wise was just like, wow, I've been working so hard at drawing and at college. It wasn't a fun university college. It was Joe Kubert school. It was like, wow, let's play in a band and party. And that's what it turned into. It was just like such, it was a train you jump on and you think, all right, I'm jumping on, you know, like, you know what I mean? It's like, that's what I, it's kind of like, okay, I'm out of school now. I'm supposed to be an adult. I'm going to jump on this train, this band train for a while. Woo. And then you think you're going to get off at the next stop. No, I'm going to stay on this band train for a while longer. And the next thing you know, you're like, hey, wait a minute. This could be a lucrative career. And then the next thing you know, you're releasing a CD. You've got shows lined up with bands that you're watching on Much Music all the time. And then the next thing you know, you're in the newspaper. And then you're on the radio. Then you're on the TV. I'm just describing our journey together here right? in Mr. Machete. Yeah. And then the next thing, it's like, wow, I was only going to do this for a couple of days. I was only going to do this for like maybe a couple of months or a year.
Yeah.
It's been, 5 years now? And I'm doing pretty good. And then that's how the school started. You get to deal with that. But we started when we were young. We were young and we were rebellious and we were going to change the world. And I was very pissed off at the time as well.
Yeah.
And then
I was 18 and wanted to play Tesla songs.
Yeah. Well, your eyes were this big. you were just experiencing all this really cool stuff. You were seeing in magazines. You were like, wow, this really happens. Like this happens. Yeah, and Dent was just Dent. Dent was just breaking stuff. And being Dent, you know.
I can't wait to get him. I got, you know, he's got the boys and he's rocking, but I think we definitely have to have a machete for him in a bit and we'll get into the history of that. One question I've never asked you, which is very, I'm curious about. Mm. Everyone has their definition of making it. Mm-hmm. All right. So we come out, you play in a band. It's like, we're going to play in a band. And some people never either get over the fact that they never had the hit. And I don't say that we never really got close, but I'm saying you have that one band that might've had like, say, ooh, we were number 12 twice.
Not by choice.
And then, that's a good example.
That's what I'm saying. Like that.
But then Liam's gone on to become a big manager. So I'm just, question.
I thought you were talking as a band.
Like, well, as a band, it starts as a band. And my question is like, what are your feelings? Do you feel like you accomplished what you wanted to musically from the standpoint of like, we never had the hit on the radio, or we didn't write a hit for somebody, or do you feel like as a band guy, you just accomplished what you wanted to do as a band?
No, because everybody, that's what I was going to say is like every musician sets their goals. You know what I mean? There's some people like right now, the band I'm in right now, my goal is just to release a good album, a solid album, play some good Children Kinks. And that's my goal. And if I do that, then I've attained it. But the goal that we set out as way back in Caesarea, no, I did not attain that. But if I did, I don't think I'd be alive.
Well,
I'm serious.
A sidebar to that, could you have handled it?
No.
If we had, you know, a moment where it was like all, you know, it was, we had rode the wave and it was.
I wouldn't have made it.
Sum 41, not by choice.
If we would have been as big as Sum 41 at the time we were trying to be, there's no way I would have survived that. My wife and I have discussed this many times.
Yeah. Well, they barely survived. I mean, they barely survived. Derek barely survived.
You know, that's what I'm saying. I could see myself getting, because of the schedule, man, and having to be that front man, you know, and I'm not slagging drummers, but the drum, you know, drummers can
you can slag a drummer. It's fine.
No, but like, playing wise,
it's a drummer slag podcast.
Check this out though. And tell me if I'm wrong. If a drummer's not feeling it, he can still perform, but just kind of kick back. If the front man's not feeling it, he can't kick back. He's still got to be like going, woo! So I probably would have been a huge cokehead. Sorry, kids. But I never became it. Never did it. Never became it. Never had trouble with it. Never. Lonnie's listening. My wife is listening very intently.
It's an interesting thing because it's just something I think about a lot because I think there's different levels of making it and.
Well, no, I didn't get to where I wanted to be because I wanted to be that guy in the magazines, man. I wanted to be the guy in the limos. I wanted to be partying. I wanted to do all that, but it would have killed me. I guarantee it would have killed me. There's no way I would have.
Well, now you're making the magazines. Now you're making the comics and you're making the stuff. So
well, the funny thing is, Machete comics.
Yeah.
That's what I started with before. Cause that's what I thought I was going to do before I did Machete. Machete was the train. The band was all right. I am a comic book artist, but I want to do this punk rock thing, metal thing. I have to get, cause I did that before, you know, like when I was like,
isn't it funny about the people that you meet? Right. Because the thing for me about that, it's like, okay, we gave it a go with you, me, Dent, Dave, Mel came in. Like some people can't, we gave it a go with these players. You know, we had Zig there. We were, you know, we were like an onslaught juggernaut within ourselves.
Yeah.
But it's very interesting how you went into Max Milk that day and met Dent, and then he brings me. I don't even have a drum kit. We got to figure that whole thing out, and then it becomes the dynamic of the three of us.
Yeah.
And then the four of us, and then the five of us, and then it kind of goes to that level. But it's very interesting if you didn't decide to go into Max Milk that day.
That was a night. That was the first stop. I hadn't even gotten to my destination yet. Like I stopped in to get rolling papers and Gatorade. That's exactly what I bought.
And I don't, I'm not much of a dweller from the standpoint of like things happen for a reason. Yeah. There are some things that happen in that regard. And I definitely think that it's interesting, but it's very interesting to me because you chose to come Jersey into Port Perry. I mean, maybe you would have went to London. Maybe you would have somehow ended up in Toronto and then you're in a band with these five guys. And then, so it's very interesting to me how it goes. But I definitely think that out of it, from my personal standpoint, it's providing a life now out of the beginning of that Max Milk thing, because we're all doing things now. It's very, we all kind of went our way. And now there's Machete Comics, which is really cool. And I touch on that a minute because this is kind of like out of nowhere. You're just like, I'm going for it now.
Yeah. Well, it's kind of like it's looped back to the beginning again. Right.
Right.
So now I'm settled down again. You know, I've got my wife's here with me and my daughter's all grown up. She's doing amazing. Two cats and a dog. It's life's put on pause here for the outside world. It's the time to do it. And I love comic books again because I don't like traveling anymore. I love my station right here and I can create. And mentioning about the beauty about being an artist or a musician is you will get as far as the work you put into it. You know, the sad thing is that there's so many people out there that are popular that just get it handed to them. I get a kick out of that Billie Eilish,
yeah.
She looks so sad and complains so much. She was homeschooled. She was like from a rich family that had, like, I'm not saying that's because you have lots of money you should everything's gold and roses. I'm not saying that, but she's in a career that people would like just kill. They kill themselves to get in that career. She had it handed to her and she's so glum about the whole thing, and I just want to reach in and shake her because there's like, then hand that off to somebody else. It's just so sad. There's so many kids who have, like, you know, they have the mom and she works all the time and this kid writes songs. Billie Eilish just got it handed to her and she's so, do you know what I'm saying? Like, I know you can't really comment too much on that.
I have no connection to it. I just find it's an interesting time right now because the kids, Here we are sounding like in our day, but I mean,
it's not that.
I mean, these kids are breaking on the internet now. Yeah. And yes, it's just so much so fast. Oh, well, here's somebody who can comment on this. We're getting Taylor Cochran. She's coming on board here. Oh, cool. Stand by.
Nice. She put her makeup on. She's all ready to go.
Let's see what
there
she's
she
got.
Is. Yay. Right
there she is. Hello, Taylor Cochran. How are you?
Hello.
Hey, you're in here. Hey, so we were just discussing something. So we're being old guys, and we were just
you joined at the perfect time.
Yeah. So we just already discussed the Mr. Machete journey and all the hard work and fun that we put into that band. Excuse me. And then you see somebody like Billie Eilish.
Eilish.
Okay. And then she comes in, who was homeschooled and basically was just handed this whole deal, where you see so many kids nowadays, single moms working so hard, like basically killing themselves to get a career. And she's in there now and she's so like, just this sucks, that sucks.
What's your take on it, Taylor?
And my whole opinion is, okay, well, I would love to see somebody who appreciated it in that position. And because of that, she upsets me.
Did you ever think it was a marketing thing? Like, it could be like her label saying like, this is the image that you want, like maybe portray this and it will add more viewers to it, because she can connect to people on that level with her attitude.
That makes me hate her even more.
Taylor.
No, I'm just saying like,
in a way, you know what I mean?
That Taylor, totally look how long you've been working at it. Taylor, like, you've been singing and doing stuff forever, and you would kill for that opportunity to break on SoundCloud and then turn it into doing stadiums. So, and I don't think you'd be moping around, because we wouldn't let you mope around.
No, I'd be super stoked. I'd be super stoked. But I don't know. I think maybe she is a chill human being. I don't know. I guess you take what you want from it.
Hey, it's Kaylee Cuoco for Priceline. Ready to go to your happy place for a happy price? Well, why didn't you say so? Just download the Priceline app right now and save up to 60% on hotels. So whether it's Cousin Kevin's Kazoo Concert in Kansas City, go Kevin! Or Becky's Bachelorette Bash in Bermuda, you never have to miss a trip ever again. So download the Priceline app today. Your savings are waiting.
Go to your happy place for a happy price. Go to your happy price, Priceline.
Hey there. Did you know Kroger always gives you savings and rewards on top of our lower than low prices? And when you download the Kroger app, you'll enjoy over $500 in savings every week with digital coupons. And don't forget fuel points to help you save up to $1 per gallon at the pump. Want to save even more? With a Boost membership, you'll get double fuel points and free delivery. So shop and save big at Kroger today. Kroger, fresh for everyone. Savings may vary by state. Restrictions apply. See site for details.
So anyways, our friends, we're recording here, the Brenton not on tour quarantine cast, and Taylor is not in the clubs doing shows right now. We're both in the same scenario, and we're back to Taylor's dad, Chris, who's on with me right now and is like, he's the only one working out of the two people on this thing.
I'm business as usual. I've actually got more work now than I did before everything shut down.
What are you doing to keep busy, Taylor, down there in Vancouver? Because you're out here with me now, hanging out.
I am writing music again, which is cool. Writing a lot of music. Learning how to cook. Learning how to do things that I didn't do before.
Cook.
Things I didn't have time to do.
Yeah,
so.
What are you cooking?
What am I cooking? I'm baking a lot. So I made, like, chocolate chip banana muffins. Nice. It's, like, really red spinach and artichoke dip, chicken.
Are you putting any of those special herbs I sent in any of your baking?
Not yet.
No, not yet.
That's a good idea.
Okay. Just checking. Just check. Is that a Christmas decoration behind you?
No.
Okay. What is that? Is that
it's a tapestry. Oh. So you put it down and then it covers the
tapestries.
Hey.
So you got earbuds? You got your things, or are you on your computer? What are you on?
I'm on my computer.
Does your AirPods work for your computer?
Yeah, let me grab those.
Let's get those. Yeah, there we go. So Taylor Machete has joined us, and Taylor moved out here about 3 years ago now.
Yeah. And she sent me a song today, and it was fantastic. It was a really good song.
Well, we won't get her to preview it just quite today, because I'm sure she's not ready for it. But
it's really good.
It's exciting that I've got you on here. I've got Taylor on here. You're still writing and in a band, and Taylor's doing her thing and writing his music still. And then she's doing concerts. So I'm getting the best of all the worlds here. This is pretty excellent.
So tell everybody what you do.
What do I do? Is my job?
Yeah. What is your job? I'd like to know it too. I don't even know.
I'm a production rep. So basically what I do is I take a show file and I talk to bands and then I make the show happen.
Nice.
Yeah, yeah, she works for a company in Vancouver called MRG that are doing really great. MRG Live. How many shows are you doing a month at your peak before the whole world shut down?
About 20, 25 a month.
So there's 30 days in a month.
Yes.
So what are you doing with the other 5 days?
I advance shows.
It's good.
All the time.
That's right. Well, we're just catching up. Chris and I are kind of getting caught up on comics and stuff like that. We're talking Billie Eilish. We're talking, I wanted to get Chris's take on a few things on comic wise, but I also wanted to get you here because you're here hanging out and you're not working like me. What's your plan? Have you thought about what your plan is right now to keep working? Are we going to go work at Amazon together? What's happening?
Yeah, that's a good question. I was actually just talking to a friend about that before I popped on with you guys. And, you know, I was thinking about maybe looking into, like, the label world, but I don't know exactly what I want to do yet. Like, my passion is concert and productions, and I don't know if I can sit behind a desk and sit on a computer and organize things for a very long time. I like to be out and open and doing very challenging things. Not saying that it's not challenging during like, the other sides of the industry, but, yeah, I don't know. It's a good question. So I'm waiting for this, hopefully, to ride out, and then...
Oh, it'll ride out. Don't worry.
Get back at the concerts.
Well, I mean, and that's the one thing that's going to happen. People are going to go see shows again.
Booming eventually.
They're going to go do stuff. They're going to go back to the movies. They're going to go do stuff. Have you been watching anything like that? Because I wanted to get into some Avengers talk and a few things like that and go down that road. But have you been, Taylor's also in our world a bit as far as nerding out on some stuff. So what have you been watching? What have you been doing there? What are you digging right now? Are you watching anything? Netflix wise, yeah, like we just I just finished up Hunters. Chris has been watching everything, so I'm pretty sure there's something.
You have a pair. Sorry, I'm just trying to find headphones. So I've been watching a lot of documentaries. I watched Slash's documentary on Prime.
Okay, there we go. That was a couple years old. That's him building the band, right?
Yeah, it was on like Sunset, all about the one there. Do you
have a little perfect? I thought you said a Slasher documentary.
No.
It's like Slasher films.
Yeah, no. But the documentary, it was cool because like I recently went to LA before all of this happened. So I just like hit up all of the same venues where all of that started with like Crew and Slash, which was really cool to see. Even like the Rainbow Room, which was cool, like the bar down from it. I didn't know there was that much history to it all.
So which one of those classic bars still looks the best?
Whiskey Go-Go.
Whiskey Go-Go?
Yeah.
And I think Slash did a release there, and I think Motley Crue did their announce there. They're still doing stuff with the whiskey.
They fit Vince Neil in the door. Holy crap.
They fit Vince Neil in the door.
My God.
Yeah. Yeah. It's
give me a
crazy.
Deli tray. Two deli trays.
Apparently. Yeah. I've been trying to stay away from watching so much TV. Just trying to like keep my mind open, and reading too, I find is a big thing right now. That's something I didn't have time to do.
Well, the great thing about where we live out here, at least, it's been 20 degrees for 3 weeks. So
yeah, you guys got good weather.
Get outside to hit the ocean and do stuff like that and haven't had to be inside like, you know, minus 10 and 20 and the prairies and stuff like that. So that's been good.
Yeah.
Just been kind of chilling and figuring it out. So, all right.
It's cold here.
Yeah. I just want to get an update. Taylor, you can stick around if you want. We're going to just talk comics and kind of chill out, or unless you got a busy schedule and you're going to go do some stuff, you know?
Yeah. I'm going to paint my apartment.
So. Nice.
You're going to paint your apartment.
Okay. Well, awesome. I'll Skype with you after I'm done here. Okay, kid.
Okay. Sounds good.
Right on.
See you in a while, Moon. Thanks.
Okay, bye.
I think, yeah. So anyways, I was
looking at that special guest on the show.
Special guests on the show. So I want to play a game. I want to play a game called, what's in the box? Gonna get Mike.
I'm gonna need another beer for this though. One sec.
Sure. Well, while you're getting a beer, I'm gonna get to
waitress. I'd like another beverage, please.
I'm gonna get my producer friend Mike to cue up some sound. Cue up the sound for what's in the box.
What's in the box? What's in the fucking box?
And there it is.
All right, great.
Yes, that's Brad Pitt from the movie Seven. What's in the box?
Oh, right on. Love it.
That's a good one.
Love
it. So I've got a box of comics here.
I like comics.
That I know you're a Marvel guy.
Yeah, I am.
So So I'm gonna.
So you're gonna give me all DC ones.
I'm gonna give you all DC. Oh, I'm gonna start you with a DC.
Just to make me look like an idiot, you're gonna give me all DC.
I'm gonna start with the DC, but I think what I'm gonna do with this, because it's an audio and a video, is the people listening at home are gonna go, well, "What the hell is he showing him?" So I'm gonna show you. I want you to say what it is, and then we can. You're gonna know what it is, 100%.
Okay.
So here's the first.
Wait. So you're showing me an issue, and what am I supposed to do?
I just want you to give me your thoughts as soon as you see it, because I'm 100%. I'm only going to show you stuff that I think you're going to know.
Okay. All right? I'm doing a Kevin Smith here, where I just see something and talk about it.
Right.
Okay.
This has got the original sticker on it. Okay. And this is, I think, the fifth print. Here we go.
The comic has a sticker on it. That's not good. Right on the comic? Okay. No, it's on the backer board. Oh, remember that place? Yeah. Okay. Wow. So I gave you that.
No, I bought this one.
You bought that one?
I bought this one. No, I've got other ones that you've given
me. Well, you definitely didn't pay a dollar for that at Twice Told Tales, because that's the death of the second Robin. And what they did in that is they came to a point where you could either phone in for the death of the Joker, or you could phone in for the death of Robin. And the back, so that what you have is the trade paperback of four issues together in one. And in, I can't remember, the second issue, at the end of it, there was two phone numbers, and one you called for Robin to die, and the next one you phoned for Joker to die. And the votes came in, and they voted for Robin to die, and they killed Robin off. And that is the whole story. And that is a really, really,
I love this story. Awesome story. I love it. Brutal. I got the green death in the family, and there was a red was the first print. Yeah.
Wow. Okay. Cool.
So there's a green. They changed the colors of the death in the family. So I think the first print is red, and then it goes orange or something, and then I got the green, which is the third print. But it's still worth
like
$200.
Yeah.
Well, so it's pretty great. So that my friends is the Death in the Family by Batman. This they've combined it into one big.
Trade paperback.
Yeah. So then, but there was individual.
No, say it after me, Brent. Trade paperback. There we go.
There was individual issues of it, but they combined it into this. So anyways, that was really cool. All right. What's in the box? Number two.
Woo! The excitement builds. Oh, are you kidding me? That's a reprint of X-Men number one. Holy crap. Yeah.
That's the one that you gave me.
Okay. So, well, that's it. Wow. That's like... X-Men number one, man.
Give us a little history on that.
Oh, are you kidding me? X-Men? Well, okay. Well, that's one of the titles that you hear a lot of Stan Lee. Hey, I created this and I created that. That is one group or one comic book that Stan Lee did officially break down each character. And it came out probably closest to his rendition or his imagination of what would come out of that. When he created Spider-Man, Steve Ditko just basically created his own unique, very unique costume for Spider-Man that Stanley had no idea was going to come out.
Ready?
Yep.
Third one. One of my faves.
Death of Superman. Oh, wow. Ghost Rider. Holy cow. So that's an original too, huh?
That's the original.
Yeah. What number is that? I can't quite. What number
is
that?
This one here is, where did it go here? Hold on. It's actually a little rough. I got this from a couple of years ago. I got it years ago. It's one of the first comics I got. Let's open her up here. 1982. Jeez.
82. Very nice. So that's Johnny Blaze. Back. Yeah. That's. Yeah,
look at the back.
Oh, man. Deeds, not words. Yep. Megaforce. Man. Anything that has the worst mega, anything that has the word mega in it is good.
This is volume one, number 72, September 1982.
Awesome. And that is, that's Johnny Blaze is the Ghost Rider. And the second volume, stuff in here. Danny Ketch becomes him.
There's the bubble. Yum. Oh,
of course, the ads are some of the best parts. Right? I like the ones from the 70s where it's just a whole bunch of little ads. Send us $4 for a box of surprises. You know, or 75 cents just, it probably would have been, right?
It's unbelievable. And there's still something about how the feel of this paper from the 80s was.
Well, the smell too. The smell of
it's just great.
I love old comic book smell.
It's so good. So keeping with that theme, another one that's very near and dear to my heart, which was the relaunch.
The relaunch. Oh, Ghost Rider number one. And that's Danny Ketch as the Ghost Rider. Yeah. Wow. That's a nice one too. Huh? So the movie was really about Johnny Blaze, not Danny Ketch. So that's just number one of a relaunch of Ghost Rider. Now nowadays in Ghost Rider, Johnny Blaze is the king of hell, and Danny Ketch is trying to fight him. So it's like new Ghost Rider versus old Ghost Rider, basically, is what's going on right now. And Mephisto is sitting back laughing, having a beer.
Here, Here's an interesting one that I got. 1986. All right. I still got it.
Okay.
Let's see if you remember this. See if it rings a bell.
Okay. Ba-ba. Wow. Spitfire number 3. No, I'm actually drawing a total blank on that one.
That's a great story. It was.
Wow. New universe.
It's a new universe. And then there was, which came with that in 1986.
Mm-hmm. Night Mask, another new universe. See, I don't know anything about these. Who were the artists in those?
Like who's the penciler?
Yeah, who's the penciler in those? Nobody cares who the inker is.
Ron Wagner.
Oh wow, Ron Wagner, he's good.
Danny Bellinati for inks.
Nobody cares about him.
Okay, that was Spitfire and on Night Mask.
Ron Wagner actually went on to do some really big stuff.
And you said you wanted the artist was Ernie Colon.
Oh,
and the letterer was Janice Chiang.
Nobody cares about letter either.
Okay.
No, but you know what? That other one there is some early Ron Wagner work. So that could be worth something. That could be a diamond in the rough there.
Yeah, there's some cool ones here. I don't want to go too far into DC world, but let's go back to 86 for a minute, see if you can remember something here.
Mm-hmm. Wow, the super. Oh, you got. Whoa, that's a good one because you got Darkseid's in that. Anything that Darkseid's in the 80s is worth some money. That's a good one. I don't know much about what goes on there, but you got Darkseid on the cover, so I know it's a good issue.
Jack Kirby,
legendary Marvel guy, created Darkseid with the New Gods. Jack Kirby and Todd McFarlane and John Byrne. Wow. But Jack Kirby right now, man, like this shirt, I wear this every day because Jack Kirby had a shirt like it. He just, dude, that guy worked so hard and didn't, he created so much. The whole Jack Kirby Stan Lee thing, we could discuss forever. Wow, man. Wow.
I'm going to go with a couple more here for a minute. And these are just bringing up some classics that I have. Cause I got a lot of new Superman and new Batman from like the 90s. Mm-hmm. So no one really cares about that, I guess, per se. A lot of detective comic stuff, but Robin, I got to, you know, some stuff like that, but some old Chuck Norris comics. Here you go. Here's a good one. This one's a little rough, but I kept it.
Whoa, nice. Oh, why is it in bag and backer board?
Well,
man?
I'm just pulled it out right now because unfortunately, I think it was given to me, and there's some stuff that's got some damage. I think it's I got nice it from a cousin. But anyways,
let me see explain, one more time. Sorry,
explain to our listeners what this is here.
Jack Kirby just came back to Marvel after that. It was when he went to DC. And just came back, and he created Captain America. He created Captain America. Stan Lee did not create Captain America. Jack Kirby, and he created Captain America.
In case Brent Fitz happens to watch this, he'll like the back cover.
Oh, Evel Knievel. I had that too, man. I had him on the... Yeah. And then you shoot him.
It's quite something.
Didn't they redo that with Toy Story with Keanu Reeves?
Yeah, he's Captain Canada.
How cool is that? See, I'm not a big Toy Story guy. I haven't seen all those. My wife and I were thinking about binge watching. Yeah, The Secret of Teaching Yourself Music in 1 hour.
There's all these ads.
That's actually me.
There's actually all these ads in here, which are pretty funny.
Oh, wait, I think that was Brent Fitz, wasn't it?
I don't know. I have to look.
I think that was Brent Fitz back in the day there.
Yeah.
That's what he did before he was a massive success with drumming.
Yeah. And then I got... couple that you gave me, but here's the oldest comic in the collection that I have right here, which is pretty cool. I just pulled it out here for you too. Here's one for you.
Oh yeah, the old Superboy stuff, huh? Wow.
Vincent Price
heads. Oh, on the back, man, of the shrunken heads. Well, that's a toy. I remember they used to have a toy and it'd shrink the heads down, man.
Oh my God, there's so many cool things. And then I got there's no like shortage of Lobo. I got the PI part 1, part 2, part 3. There's so many stuff. So anyways, there's some stuff that's...
Well, here's one thing before we end, just at the very end. So Lobo there, and I think we talked about this with on the other podcast.
With Dean, yeah.
Was that if they did want to do a funny, violent type DC movie, Lobo would be...
Like Deadpool.
Yeah, like Deadpool, man. Like they could really do Lobo up. It would be done properly. They'd have to get Beasley in there, or Beasley, however he pronounces his name.
Oh, you know what? Here's one I wanted to show you. Here's one I want to show. I'm going to pull it out of the thing. I'm going to go very carefully. This is one of my favorite ones that I ever got from Twice Told Tales in Fort Perry, Ontario.
Aww, I love Twice Told Tales. That's what they were there when I first moved to Port.
But here you go.
Oh, wow. What number is that?
Look at that.
No, oh, dude, that, what number is that?
This is book 31. Just July 1990. And you can see by the illustrations in it, which is just, it's all, the whole comic is black and white.
Of course it is. Yeah. No, that's how they started.
Done, yeah. It's done like that. And it's like the turtles aren't comic-y here. They look like actual turtles and stuff. It's just one of my, it's just such a rad little.
Okay.
Little,
so if you want to watch a really cool documentary on either toys or just a comic book, watch the Eastman Laird documentary on Ninja Turtles. Cause man, they punk rocked it, right? Like they created the turtles at a bar on napkins with a marker.
Oh, wow.
And it got to the point where they were just bad. They were best friends that they brought it up all of a sudden. Hey, here's $1 million. And they're like, oh my God, high fiving. Like, whoa, look at us. It was like a punk rock comic book. And then it got to the point where the one guy's like, you know, I could sell out now. And the other guy's like, no, I don't want to sell out. I want to hold on to this. And of course, the guy that hung in there got the, okay, so here's $1 million for the movie, you know, and the guy that didn't was like, oh, well, you know, shit happens. But and then they show them getting back together when they're older and drawing and talking and having a beer. And it's just such a beautiful story, man. Like what a great, the Ninja Turtles, whatever, but the creators, the story behind it is beautiful. Such a
what do you think of like, so the original Batman was on the other day, not like the Batman movie with Michael Keaton.
Yeah.
And then there was, and we got into like our favorite Jokers and things like that. But so obviously now with the Avengers and all the CGI and amazing stuff that they're able to do.
Yeah.
It gives it a certain texture and gives it a certain, you're able to tell the story obviously a lot better than they could back in the '90s or what I, you know, coming out of like say 79 out of Star Wars, really, if we go back to maybe 74 or 73, but once the technology of movies started expanding and started going, you got movies like the original Teenage Mutant Ninja Turtle, which had its campiness, but it was kind of cool. The original Batman, they all had the same kind of tone.
Right.
Do you think people are going to look at like, oh, I can look at the original Batman and go, that's 1990. Turtles, that's 89. You know, anything like that, like the Supermans through the 80s. But then you look at Avengers and you kind of go, well, that I know for sure that was like 2015 or something. Like just, right. I feel like they all had a texture to them. Are you a fan of one or the other? Do you like the simplicity of the original ones? Because I kind of lean towards them a little bit sometimes.
You know what? It's not even like... it's so more than that now, because it's like, who would have thought, can you hear me okay still?
100%.
Okay, great. Sorry. So who would have thought at the beginning of Iron Man that it would have tied into this huge friggin' two-part story at the end with Thanos? Like, who would have thought that?
Do you think that's what they were trying? They obviously had that in their brain though.
No, they did. But that's the thing is that you can almost pinpoint when they could technically do that. Okay. Like Marvel. Marvel kind of held off. They did some really bad stuff. And then you can tell when I think it was when Spider-Man hit, was when, whoa, holy smokes. Okay. Like the CGI looks good.
Sure.
They can actually pull this off now. You can see when they've tried to do it anytime before that and it didn't work. So the CGI effect really helps Marvel with their movies. Now, if we go back to DC, DC is a lot more, if you look at a Batman movie, you don't need a ton of CG to make it look good. You need a great person playing Batman and you need a fucking amazing Joker, right? Like emphasis on the Joker, right? You see that? Like Joker is the unknown. We know Batman, he's a rich dude who has everything at his hands, like everything at his, he could do whatever he wants money-wise, right?
Yeah.
And he's so messed up that he's so jaded and upset about his folks being killed that he doesn't kill the Joker. He doesn't kill the Riddler. He puts them in jail. Why do you think he does that? I'm curious. I'm not being sarcastic. Why do you think he doesn't kill them?
He likes the game. I think he likes it. You know, the anarchy of it, obviously.
He doesn't want to
I love, you know, one thing I love about the Joker is, and I think we talked on this a little while ago, it just, it's evolving all the time. It can be just this character. It can be 1960s Joker, mm-hmm. and it's just a bad guy. Yeah. Or it can be all these different variations, or it can be Joaquin Phoenix's, which could be a version of version one of six or whatever you were saying. Like it could be five different versions.
There's three different Joker theory,
or the three different versions.
There's
a
theory that there's three different Jokers over the course of the comic books, not the movies. This is over the course of the comic books, right?
Yeah.
I'm saying there was three different Jokers, but what they're kind of exemplifying is the different changes over time. Because you can see the Jokers, if I was to show you a picture from, you know, the 70s and a picture of them from the 90s and then a picture of them from now, you'd be like, well, that looks like three different Jokers. So let's expand on that, right? So that's what they've done. So I think that Watchmen is another one. Have you seen Watchmen?
Yeah, I only watched a little bit of it. I think there's a series right now.
Oh no! But the original movie,
I was kind of into.
Right.
I got to be honest with you. I wasn't like a huge fan of it. But.
Well, here's the thing: is when if you can sit down and read it, it's a great story. But watching it is kind of bland, right?
Right.
So this is the thing: is that when you look at the CGI compared with the storytelling, why can't I have both?
Right.
So my opinion, your original question about it at all is that, like, you know, I think I like the old stuff and I like the new stuff. To go on a different, like a movie like Taxi Driver to me could be a comic book movie.
Totally. It could. There's so many, you know, comic book movie? It's a new Rambo is a new comic book.
Right. But wait. So Taxi Driver is kind of like a comic book movie. Let's step forward on that. The Joker. That is like, How mirrored to Taxi Driver is that?
Totally.
And that's my point. You had a character back in the day, and that was, we just watched that. What was the year of Taxi Driver? Lonnie?
I want to say it was 80.
No, 70.
Oh, 78?
It was 73 or 70. It was early 70s. But you could have took that character and evolved him into somebody like the Joker, man. Wow. He just killed all these people and got away with it. And the camera work in that movie was just...
It's funny because the people just didn't... the movies were such a different experience then. It was like, mm-hmm. it was that movie. And then you had seen like Jaws.
It was an experience. You nailed it right there. It was an experience.
But it's also the mass intake of movie going wasn't what it is. I mean, you started with Jaws. You started getting the bigger blockbusters. So they had to make more screens and movies had to explode. Yeah. So... It is interesting. I'm sure the Quentin Tarantinos of the world that have studied film like crazy can walk us through a character that was developed over four movies or something.
Right.
But that patience for the common person. Now you go into a Marvel movie, you go into something or Jack Reacher even, or you go into one of these, you know, John Wicks or something. People go, well, they're probably going to make seven more. The Bourne Identity, they're going to make five more. But mm-hmm. then it was like, you can't really make obviously a sequel to Taxi Driver. Did they have the insight to like make Travis Bickle like a, you know, a character they could have done over seven movies? I don't know.
His name went back to, just blanking on name. So the actor.
De Niro
went back to the director. Scorsese?
Scorsese, yeah.
And said, in early 90s, said, we got to pick this up again. And Scorsese, no, it's done. No, we're not doing it. But De Niro actually went to him and said, man, I got it all sketched out. Let's continue this.
And it's funny, they could probably do it now because when he went back to it, I have to study on when De Niro went back to it. But even in the 90s, there was still a bit of like, you know, even there was still some campiness to a lot of things that were going on.
Oh, the 90s. And the comic book sucked in the 90s too. Like that,
you know what I mean? And so it would have been
bad timing.
It would have been just bad timing. Whereas I think now more than ever, it's the best time to be creative.
Oh, it is, so, for sure. Because your outlets are again, my theory about having your creativity in your hand. And if you don't, it could be a ball. It could be a chunk of mud. It could be a rock. If whatever
you can
do
anything.
If you don't throw it, it's not going anywhere. And now all you got to do is go, upload, share. Yeah. Like that's all you got to do now. It's incredible.
There's so many ways to tell stories.
And to fund them too.
So it's very interesting. And I, as my kids are coming through it now, and Alex is, you know, my little guy's coming through it, and he'll watch like, well, what Batman is this? Or, and I'll make sure he's watching all those, because I want him to see sort of like the different arc, and I want him to see the different ways that they were telling stories. And, and he's reading comics now, and I'll go, you know, at night before bed, and he'll read a comic, and, oh, I read this, and then I read this, but this is going to continue into this. It's just funny watching him sort of wrap his head around it at nine and go, well, I can't, you know, the next one's coming out. And
so is he old enough to watch the newest Batmans?
Yeah, I've shown him the new Batman. Oh, cool.
See, I don't know anymore. Yeah. It's fun. I have students who are like, hey man, do you watch The Walking Dead? The kid's like, I'm nine. No, I don't even know what that is.
No, I let him watch the Batmans because it was my, you know, actually, he saw The Dark Knight, but was it Dark Knight Rises? He hasn't actually seen that, at least.
That's with Bane?
Not with me. But I just think that he's been so jammed up with Avengers and things like that, that it's just, we'll get to it. Yeah. So it's just a funny thing. So we're, I guess I'll let you go. You got some drawing and stuff to do, but what's going on? Where do you want to go with Machete Comics? Is this
something? Oh, it's going to be huge. So it's going to be first is comic books, then it's going to be trade paperbacks, then it's going to be cartoons, then it's going to be TV shows, then it's going to be a big movie, and then I'll be dead. And I'll leave my legacy for somebody else to pick up after me. I'm hoping that I can bring in, I'm hoping I can bring this in. Well, something just popped up here. Sorry. Okay. Oh, sorry. So this is going to be my legacy, I'm thinking. But, you know, I thought the band was going to be my legacy, and I thought my school was going to be my legacy, and maybe it will all be my legacy. Maybe it'll all be wrapped up in one thing. But as I say, when you get to your mid to late 40s, man, you start to want to just slow down. But the other thing too is it's all under my control. It will be as popular and it'll be as big as I want it to be. As hard as I work at it is what it's going to happen, right? And I'm going to surround myself with the right people, and I'm going to have a comic company. It's going to be Machete Comics,
which is pretty great. And I don't want to say like, have you researched what that's going to take? I'm assuming
lived it. I know, you know, because I know
you've lived it. I just mean like, is there like, it's changed. The distribution's changed. Everything's changed. Can you go strictly online with it? What are you thinking in your brain here?
Oh, no, I want printed copies, just to have printed copies. Any advice I've gotten or any kind of thing I've read up on is at least do a couple issues by yourself, because it's doable. You could have it so people can, you don't have to print an issue until people buy it, man. Like, you know, you don't even have to put any money up. It's crazy. You know, I could just make t-shirts. That's the only thing I'd have to spend money on, is like some kind of promo kind of thing like that.
I know when I went to, you know, the Vancouver
Fan Expo,
obviously there's like Comic Alley where everyone's got all their own comics. Yep. So it's just crazy. And there's all these artists. There's one girl that does something for Samantha every single year and stuff. And she's got like six prints by her, which is really cool. Mm-hmm. I mean, it seems really great. Like, it seems like everyone's thriving or there's room. Mm-hmm. You know, there's room to do it, which is cool. And I think you got a good relationship in Kingston. You got a great place to launch it to.
Yeah.
Which is awesome. So I can't wait to see it, man.
Right on, brother.
It's going to be great.
And I can drink beer. I can drink beer while I do it and watch whatever I want on the TV. So that's
right in front of you.
What the hell, man? Why wouldn't I want to do this, right?
Tell us about the guitar lessons. Tell us where they can find you online.
Oh yeah.
We'll send people to there.
Oh yeah. My guitar lessons. No,
that's right. There's all that too.
Oh, where can you find me online? Chris Machete. Just put Chris Machete in Google. I'm the only Chris Machete out there. You'll find my guitar lessons. I have YouTube stuff on there. I'm on the Dean Blundell Network. We got to load up a couple more lessons there this week. Yeah.
Awesome, man. Well, he's my long time friend. I'm not even going to put into the years. He's got an amazing world there. He's got an amazing wife. He's got an amazing life. And
thank you.
Happy to have you, my friend. So thanks for joining me on the Brenton on Not on Tour Quarantine Home Edition. Talking comics. We'll have you back and we'll pick it up soon. Thanks, man.
Bitchin'.
What happens when we play outside? We become healthier, both mentally and physically. We become more creative and more focused. We connect with nature, each other, and ourselves.
Let's Take This Outside, a new podcast hosted by me, Marianne Iveson, an aspiring outdoor athlete and nature lover. I speak to athletes, outdoor professionals, and scientists about their connection to nature, how it affects their performance and everyday life. Let's Take This Outside, available on Apple Podcasts, Spotify, and Google Podcasts, and at letstakethisoutside.ca.
Hi, I'm Mercedes Nickel, four-time Winter Olympian and host of Dropping In, a podcast with Mercedes. This is a podcast where I interview a bunch of different people. I get the good, the bad, and the ugly, as well as I share my stories along the way. Now you can drop in at droppingin.com or subscribe on Apple, Spotify, and YouTube. I'll see you soon.